Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans.
Good morning, folks. Mike Cosentino here on a new episode of Democratic Perspective. Steve Williamson has taken an extended sabbatical, but silent Gary LeMaster is here.
Not so silent.
Not so silent. You can't be silent if you're the other guy. But we also have two interesting guests. This is, forget Science Friday, we're doing Science Monday here in Democratic Perspective. One of the reasons we started Democratic Perspective, these 4 years ago, was to try to bring some accurate information. We just saw an awful lot of inaccurate information out there coming from mostly from the other side. We don't pull punches here. We're not about fairness at all. We're about partisanship here. But having said that, today's show is going to be a little break from our political stuff. We're not straying too far, because if you talk about water, we're going to talk about the Verde River. Our guests here, Chip Norton and Kathy Davis, are going to talk about the Verde River. We're going to talk about the health of the river. We're going to talk about the future a little bit of the river. We're going to talk about the river organizations. But when you talk about water in Arizona, it becomes political really fast, just any place in the West, for that matter. Whiskeys for drinking? No, whiskeys for fighting. No, I'll get this straight. Ready?
Waters for fighting, whiskeys for drinking.
Thank you, Gary. And I've told the story before. Down at the Salt River Project home office in Phoenix, they have a massive painting. And is it of some, water reclamation project or a beautiful lake? It's of a man on horseback with a gun across his lap at the head gate of an irrigation ditch. When you walk into the lobby of the Salt River Project, this is there. I think that says a lot about what water's about in Arizona. But today, we're going to try to focus. We're going to try to keep it on the Verde Valley. That's Chip. I'm not going to screw stuff up. Well, I am going to screw stuff up because that's what I do. But we're going to. I want you to introduce yourself and tell us who you're representing this morning.
Well, I'm president of Friends of Verde River Greenway, a local nonprofit, and I'm also chairman of the board of the Verde River Institute, another local nonprofit, and both have a focus on the Verde River and its tributaries, but we have different focuses. In other words, when you look at all the groups in the Verde Valley, that are involved with river conservation, actually, they're pretty well coordinated in that each of them deals with a different portion of the things that need to be done to conserve our river.
That's great. Yeah, I remember as a reporter years ago, I worked at both in Sedona and in Cottonwood, that there was a plethora, that's your vocabulary word for this morning, plethora of river, of 17 in 2006, 2007. And so I think, as you just said, that has narrowed down the ones that still exist, each of them has purposes. At least where they overlap, they should overlap, and that kind of thing. So it really seems much more efficient. Kathy Davis, tell us what's you're here this morning.
I'm here with the Verde River Basin Partnership. I'm on the executive board with that. And our purpose is science-based education. So I don't know if you want me to continue with that discussion now.
Yeah,
okay.
Sure.
We were formed in 2006 out of a legislation from John McCain based when the Ruskin land trade was a purpose. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of gone by the wayside. But nevertheless, we've continued. We've kind of adapted to a new form. We're a nonprofit. Our membership are private individuals and entities, government and private. You'll find the towns, the board of supervisors, water company, ditch companies, like I said, all sorts of folks, and we have...
Don't forget what you want to say, because that's... Oh. But I want to emphasize that.
Okay.
That is private and government.
Private and government.
All involved in
yes.
that one. That was the vision, I believe, from the beginning of the Verde River Basin Partnership.
Exactly. And it's a basin-wide approach. We have a little difference. We do overlap with these other groups, but we're basin-wide. We go everywhere from... We bring in discussions from Paulden down to Horseshoe Lake and over to Prescott and to Sedona. So it's the whole basin.
I'm curious why there are so many groups. You know, we have one river, but we seem to have a whole lot of groups, and I assume they focus on different aspects of it, but it's confusing to someone who's a fairly new arrival in the area.
Well, I think I'll address that. Actually, there are probably 5 active groups working on river and stream conservation, and we do get together fairly regularly, and we are fairly well coordinated, and I would say there's very little overlap. If anything, there are gaps that we're working on. For example, Friends of Verde River Greenway focuses on working with partners to get boots-on-the-ground projects done, whether they're habitat restoration or flow restoration or sustainable recreation. Kathy described what the partnership does. Verde River Institute focuses on policy, water management policy that will support free-flowing rivers and streams. Oak Creek Watershed Council has a robust volunteer program, and they've a lot of their efforts have been on water quality for Oak Creek.
They have gotten in the news lately. Now, is Oak Creek a tributary of the Verde River, or is the Verde River a tributary of Oak Creek?
Well, Oak Creek is a tributary of the Verde River. The Verde River is a tributary of the Salt River, which is a tributary of the Gila River. Although once you get to Phoenix, you have to redefine what a river is, because there is no hydraulic connection to the Colorado, and the Gila is a tributary of the Colorado River.
Well, that said, to be direct here and not to beat around the bush, one of the reasons we're having this show this morning, and one of the reasons I'm going to guess is behind these groups, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is as you drive to Phoenix, you drive over a lot of dry riverbeds. As you drive through Phoenix, you drive over the dry salt, you drive over the dry agua fria. And I believe that we're going to be driving over just a dry riverbed called the Verde River between here and Cottonwood, and from Cottonwood to I-17 and then Camp Verde. I hope that your groups are successful and manage to keep the river flowing. That is one of the underlying things behind all of these groups, Gary. And that's one of the reasons there were so many, because the river was in such danger.
Mm-hmm.
And so people said, hey, let's do something, and they formed groups. Now, these years later, they've sorted out a little bit and found out what's important, found mm-hmm. out what would be supported, I guess, maybe more than anything, what they can get some money for. And or that's sustainable as far as a mission goes, but yeah, let's talk about the existence. How's the river doing?
Well, before I don't want to leave out Verde River Valley Nature Organization as one of those groups.
So that's good.
How's the river doing right now? I think the river is doing fine. The river has adequate base flow. It's got a natural flood regime. It's got, for the most part, great habitat. I think that our focus is on the future and the threats to that. I mean, with the Friends working on invasive plants and habitat improvement, it's more of getting out in front of things.
This is the green, the
letting
greenway.
Things. Yes, Friends of Verde River Greenway, not let things degrade to where they have in other states, because once you hit that tipping point, it's sort of a pay now, pay later scenario. I think the same is true on maintaining adequate base flows and water table in the watershed, because that is the biggest, I think everyone that's informed agrees, that's the biggest threat to the future of the Verde River. But again, we're focused more on solutions. I think informed people recognize the threats, but Kathy's group that she's with, Verde River Basin Partnership's doing a great job of getting information out there. But I think the thing is, when you describe the threats, you need to also talk about solutions.
So just the Verde River Basin Partnership is more involved with flow and keeping the river going, so you guys can keep it healthy and keep it and keep it a good the resource that it was meant to be, as some of us like to think anyway.
And maybe I could tell you a little bit about our program this
Please.
Year for the partnership. We do have, over the years since 2006, we have had monthly meetings that we have speakers on different aspects of it. And in the summertime, that's a field trip and a monthly meeting. And every three or four months, we'll have a larger, broader, well-known speaker. We've had someone come in and talk about the Colorado River system. And ADWR comes in and talks about the legislation.
Arizona Department of Water Resources.
Thank you. But this year, the partnership is focusing on a program is called Living Within Your Means. And we do monthly editorials in the paper. Primarily, Ed Wolf has been doing that. It's in all of the newspapers in the Verde Valley and Sedona, and trying to get some in Prescott area. But it's a situation. Ed has pretty much been writing about kind of what's the current situation with the water. And then we came up with nine solutions. None of these work alone, but this will be what we'll be presenting through the rest of the year.
Ed Wolf was a retired hydrologist?
Yes, a geologist with the USGS.
And
he lives in the Prescott area. He is the chairman, the president of our partnership.
Very good. No, go ahead. I want to hear them.
So some of our solutions, and again, these aren't there's no silver bullet with any of these.
Right.
But it's residential or commercial rainwater harvesting for new developments, for landscape, irrigation, non-potable, indoor use or outdoor use, and groundwater recharge. And that can be done on an individual basis as well as a town. Reusing, the second one would be reusing or recharging treated water. Now what our water tends to be is in ponded areas and evaporates or gets sprayed. And our towns are beginning to look at this. But it's quite an infrastructure, so it's costly. A third one is stormwater management that supports aquifer recharge, so that if you do have some runoff, you can pond it, let it soak back into the ground. A fourth one is low water landscape. That's a real no-brainer, getting rid of the lawns and looking at plants that can sustain with our climate. The fifth one, purchase of development rights on yet undeveloped tracts. The sixth article we'll be doing is land use management zoning. That'll be through Yavapai County. And the seventh, regulating groundwater pumping, which is a big one, and I think we can discuss a little bit more in this program. And then the seventh and eighth ones are kind of combined. People say, well, just put a pipe from the Colorado River or Mississippi River or the ocean bring into the Verde Valley, and then the ninth one would be Colorado River situation. But that is bringing in water is just unfeasible by cost.
Right. Yeah, we've heard all of those things. Just put a pipe in from the Great Lakes. They won't mind.
Yeah, coming from Minnesota, I remember an initiative from the Southwest to build a pipeline from Lake Superior to Las Vegas and Phoenix. And they neglected one little minor detail in that, aside from the sheer stupidity of it,
how do you really feel?
A quarter of the world's fresh water is in the Great Lakes system. But aside from the sheer stupidity, they neglected to think that it's also the Great Lakes are on the border with Canada, and they needed to get Canadian approval to do it.
Yeah, the
and there was
right
absolutely
down.
No benefit for the Canadians to watch the water levels of the Great Lakes be pumped down
If you look at a map, the line goes right down the middle of each of the Great Lakes. Yeah, the treated to choose your number two out of your excellent list, and I'm sure that was many meetings coming up with that. But the number two has been on the Sedona City Council agenda, and that is recharge in the with treated water. And just to say quickly, in conversation, it's really important to get the facts out on that one,
mm-hmm.
because you have residents of the Loop area and all those people close to Oak Creek that are ready to misunderstand. I'm going to put it that way, that are reacting perhaps not that great to treated water, going back into aquifer, going anywhere near the Oak Creek. So I'm going to say good luck with that one, but mm-hmm. your education portion should be...
I saw Bill Gates yesterday take a drink of mm-hmm. of treated sewer water, and he's a big proponent of it. And if you look at other countries, like New Zealand and parts of New Zealand and parts of Australia, they are big on mm-hmm. wherever there's rainfall, they're big on rainwater harvesting and then recycling. You know, they don't have wells. They don't have, you know, groundwater.
Right.
They have to make do with what little they can find.
Can I just add a little fact here? U.S. Geostudies in Tavashi Marsh at Tuzigoot National Monument and the Montezuma Well have shown that the groundwater comes from the Mogollon Rim in those two particular areas, and the water is between 10 and 23,000 years old. So it takes that long to get there. And in 150 years or so, we can really deplete groundwater with pumping in local areas that can take 10,000 years to replace. And anyway, it's just a matter of realizing that.
Yeah, no, and that's one of the reasons for my lack of hope. I have a well. I'm in Cottonwood, and I'm less than 2 miles from the Verde River, and my well, from 1979 to 2011, went down 100 feet from where I'm pumping water. I pumped at 140, and now I pumped at 240. Thank goodness that the people that dug the well was not me. I went down 300 feet, so I'm still enjoying well water. But this is a very common story.
Mm-hmm.
People closer to the river, I have a friend that lives on the river, and his well is at 33 feet, and he was pumping water at 33 feet, and now it's much deeper than that, in part because of golf courses. Now, I'm once again, this is not a news show, so he believes it's because of golf course, the golf course. And things like that, they would argue that fact, I suppose. Chip, you're up.
Well, first of all, I think there is cause for hope. I think it's very challenging. Seven rivers have been dried up in Arizona.
That's an important
statistic.
In the
past 100 years.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of challenges, but I think just myself personally being involved with this, I think this effort has evolved from one of conservation groups wanting to do the right thing but not necessarily knowing how, to a pretty well-organized effort with a lot of science and a lot of engineering behind it, as to a suite of things that can be done to keep the Verde River flowing. And I've gone from feeling, why am I spending my retirement volunteering full time for this, to actually seeing solutions that will carry this not just through my lifetime, which isn't all that much longer, but through the next generation,
right.
Getting a lot deeper into the 21st century. So I think that there is cause for hope, but that we have to work cooperatively to get it done in our own best interest. I think you can see a lot of examples in the country and around the world of where people just put off doing what was difficult.
Right.
And short-term self-interest typically trumps long-term planning. But there are also examples of places in this country and other places in the world where people have actually gotten together and put in good long-term water management policies that have led to people having water certainty for the future and keeping rivers and streams flowing, which is part of their future. It's part of their local economy. And
no, I want
it
you
really
to,
is a canary in the in the mine.
Canary in the gold mine, yeah.
Because if your water management policies dry up your rivers and streams, it's only a matter of time until your wells are going dry, things of that nature. So the policies that support river conservation also support your long-term viability as a rural community.
I wish there was more education on a number of fronts. Living in Verde Santa Fe, new development, where almost all of us have come from outside the area. My wife was recruited to come work here. Moving into it, everyone was putting in, plants from that you would find in the Midwest and in New England, and it took a good deal of effort, and it's still not there to change the plant list to approve plant list to have xeriscaping. So I wish there was more of an education effort along that. Plus, in doing a magazine that I was writing for, I learned about water capture methods and recycling methods that, for example, one of the really shocking things to me was in the Northwest, in the middle of the rainforest on the islands off of Washington, they have some of the most sophisticated and enlightened laws regarding rainwater capture and reuse, where they have an abundance of water. And here we are in Arizona where it's the exact opposite situation. And I don't think very many people know of the various ways you can reuse water easily, gray water to flush your toilets, for example, or to water your plants.
Well, they all add cost to construction, and that's a really powerful lobby.
Many of them are very inexpensive, though. Mm-hmm. They're not.
I didn't say they were. But they add cost. They add something, and that's a little. They're reluctant to do that. Brad Lancaster from Tucson has been all over the state for the last 10 years, at least, maybe longer, talking about rainwater reclamation and giving and being successful in that town. That town being Tucson. I mean, he talks about reclaiming 1% of the water. And in any town that reclaims 1% of its rainwater is doing great and being effectively impacting their water resource. My doomsday scenario, Chip, Kathy, Gary, is that Salt River Project is at every significant water meeting in the state for the last 100 years. The state gave them surface water rights. they managed them. Many people think they managed them wonderfully. But legislatively, they disconnected surface water and groundwater. Whether that was good or bad, I guess smarter people than me will have to discuss, and that might be a fun thing to talk about on the show someday. But with each case that connects surface water and groundwater, SRP is ready to take its state mandate and control that water. In other words, the thing that ditch associations, they talk about is, when is SRP going to put the meter on my well? Or when are they going to try to put the meter on my well? And I'm going to have my shotgun, and that's not going to happen. Like we said, water is for fighting. So the doomsday scenario is that private property rights dry up the Verde River at its source, and that's all she wrote. Now what the efforts of these groups, in part, as Chip said, just to we've already discussed my doomsday scenario not necessarily being accurate because of the work of your groups. So we want to make sure before we go off the air that we give a list we want to talk about. Let's talk about it right now. How can, if you're concerned about watershed, if you're concerned about keeping the Verde River flowing, keeping Oak Creek healthy and flowing, let's talk about your group, first of all, the Friends of the Verde Greenway, because I remember those guys back when they first opened Dead Horse Park. Jesus Castillo and a bunch of other folks got together. This is back in the Bruce Babbitt days, I believe. There was this I want to say this Greenway dream of having this public access, this public strip of the Verde River. Just that, just to keep it commercial development to a minimum, blah, blah, blah. But these were the old days. This is now. We want to talk about people, who people can contact, and what you and what's going on now with the Friends of the Verde Greenway.
Well, our group's evolved quite a bit since the 80s, but I think the vision of 35 miles of the Verde River in the Verde Valley, not as becoming a public strip, but actually being managed cooperatively amongst different cities and towns, agencies, working with private landowners, is actually, that vision's very robust right now.
Excellent. That's good news.
I give you some examples of that, but I'll move on. It's describing the different things that Friends Verde River Greenway are involved in now. Still very strong with the habitat improvement restoration. We work, and again, the way we work is through partnerships that result in on-the-ground projects, and have very strong collaborative partnership going for habitat restoration. It's called Verde Watershed Restoration Coalition, VWRC. We wanted to get the word work in there in the acronym. And that all of the public land managers in the Verde Valley are involved, the Forest Service, the National Park Service, Arizona State Parks, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, Arizona Game and Fish, the counties, cities, and towns. And we work with over 200 private landowners.
Wow.
On stewardship on their land where they have rivers and streams running through their private property.
What kind of work would I be doing if I came?
If you came, probably talking on the radio. No, I'm kidding. I'm sorry.
That's good. I like that.
Actually, the heavy lifting is done by contract crews. We have a crew of, it's the Vetroplex, and it's a crew of returning recent era veterans that were unemployed.
Yeah.
So we're supporting local employment. We also have...
Just real quick, they have an office right there on Main Street of Cottonwood, right near City Hall?
They do.
If you're listening and you have some interest in anything we're talking about, stop in.
They're a great organization. They've received some statewide awards recently, and it's worked out very well to achieve social goals and environmental goals.
And you've hired... returning Iraqi and Afghan veterans.
Yes, but we haven't excluded older veterans. I want to be clear that it's a little harder for them to be out all day with chainsaws.
You want me to show you my service connected disability VA card?
We would have to vet you.
Okay, all right, yeah.
No pun intended.
Yes, got it.
And also we have Youth Conservation Corps crews where we take local youth, we train them. It's a great learning experience for them. They work hard and they're giving back to the community.
That's a great idea.
A lot of schools,
they can pass it forward.
A lot of schools, including one that I'm involved with, the charter school, has a community service requirement. So they could call somebody at the Verde Greenway if they have a...
Yeah, they can just Friends of Verde River Greenway.
Friends of the Verde River Greenway. And get maybe some hours.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've got
lots of volunteers. And we also, there is a community restitution program also called adult probation with Yavapai County.
Right.
And they have a fantastic crew.
That's great.
That is doing a lot of this work as well. So, but again, so working with the private landowner, it's a matter of sitting down with the landowner and finding out what level of participation they want from us. Some landowners are nervous about other people working on their property, and they just want technical support. Many landowners say, hey, let's go 50-50 on this. I want to get out and do my share, and you bring in technical expertise and the guys that are stronger and the gals that can get around and do this heavy lifting better. Some landowners say, you know, I'm older. I can't really do this. I think it's great, but you're going to have to do the bulk of this for me. So there's a varying degree of participation from the landowners.
Are we doing bank restoration? What's the
In some cases, which is a longer-term process, some cases it's just removing woody invasive plants.
What's an invasive plant?
Doing, salt cedar, Arundo donax. It's what you see on Oak Creek below Page Springs. It looks like bamboo.
Uh-huh.
Tree of heaven, Russian olive.
And those are on both on private and public land.
Right.
We're removing those for the purpose of flow.
No. It's habitat. There is an impact on flow, but it's not necessarily long term because your native vegetation will come back in. The thing is that to really have a healthy habitat, you need good biodiversity and resiliency. And when you wind up with a vegetative structure that's all one type of plant and it's an invasive plant, you've lost that. All your eggs are in one basket. And if anything comes along that has a negative impact on that plant, you just have failed breeding seasons for migratory birds. You lose a lot of the things that make it special. And also it has a very negative impact on the value of private property when that sort of thing happens.
With diversity, I always think of Dutch elm disease.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's why you want diversity and resiliency. I'm going to real quickly move on to other things the Friends are doing. They're also working on flow restoration, working with local agricultural producers and the local NRCD, which is a subdivision in the state of Arizona, on improved irrigation efficiencies, which results in improved flow. We've also funded, you may have heard of this, Geotourism, National Geographic Program. We provided funding to the Verde Valley, Sedona Verde Valley Tourism Council for that. We provided funding to the town of Camp Verde to do a river recreation master plan. And we're the fiduciary for a collaborative group referred to right now as the Verde Front, in which most of the elected officials in the Verde Valley, mayors, county supervisors, and the agencies all get together four times a year and work on something we mentioned earlier, managing rivers and streams in a way that's sustainable, that you don't do harm to the resource, and come up with where it's appropriate for river access, where it's not, where it's more appropriate to have habitat for migratory birds, otters, whatever.
Another government-private collaboration.
It is private, public, but I will say that these are homegrown. Yeah. These are not top-down programs coming from outside the state or coming from the federal government or even from the state government. These are all things that the energy has come from here. And so it's local communities that are really putting the energy into this, which we think is the appropriate way for it to happen in Yavapai.
So this is Friends of the Verde Greenway. The Verde River Basin Partnership certainly is the one I remember. It was the news entity back when McCain organized it and that land trade was still on the table, so to speak. And the local governments, it was a big deal. But and I believe the management was through Yavapai County. Now it still exists, mm-hmm. and management is private?
No, it's nonprofit. I don't know. We still have the partnership that is with all the different entities, and they're still,
right.
in a sense, the members. And our focus is educating the general public, elected officials, and the business community. And with the general public, we have one article we called The Currents, which is came from the...
Well, let's hold that up so people can see. No, yeah. That's an old radio joke.
I know, it's funny, yeah. Well, anyway, that's on the web, and it comes out quarterly. Our web is vrbp.org. So, or Verde River Basin Partnership. So we do a lot of social media, but also we target, and that's really the general public is our social media.
I can
and
friend
our,
you on Facebook?
Yes.
Actually, I think
yes.
I already have.
Yeah, thank you. We have the monthly meetings and then the newspaper columns, but we also have specific crafted messages for politicians and for the business community. We have over 1,300 people on our email list, and we include in that, all of the towns and government in the basin. So Payson, even though it's on the edge of it, will have the county and towns. So we send them out. And I suppose they can opt out if they want, but we have to send that. And again, our focus a lot this year is groundwater, because that's the sustaining sponge that will keep us flowing. And
your focus, how are you focusing on groundwater?
Well, we do
says
wanna,
the well owner.
Yes, says the well owner. It's really educating the public about water and raising that awareness about the water. That a lot of people think the water comes from the tap. They don't realize that virtually all of the water, that domestic water that we have, comes from the ground. As you said, SRP has the rights, surface water rights to the Verde River and subflow. Now, also the Native American tribes, the Yavapai Apache Nation has rights as well. And some of the governmental agencies have in-stream flow. So it's going to be an interesting adjudication. But the groundwater is what we're using up so strongly, and that affects the surface flow.
And how many wells are there in
I'm the glad area? You asked. There's about 7,000 wells as of 2011, I think, was the last one. And I do want to bring in quickly.
And that's in the Verde Valley.
That's just in the Verde Valley. That's not including.
That doesn't include Chino or Prescott area.
No, that doesn't. I do want to talk about the economics just a little bit.
Please do.
A Nature Conservancy study was done in 2011, and they found that the estimated value of recreational tourism in the Verde Valley is $87 million, and that can be compounded by people who work in the recreation industry spending money locally by another $16 million onto that. And then the production, the agricultural production in the Verde Valley is $29 million. Whether people recognize it or not, a lot of that's largely river-based and definitely water-based.
Yeah.
If we lose our groundwater,
right,
there it goes.
Right.
And it can happen.
Yeah, no, so. I have 15 fruit trees all on bubblers.
On a drip, great.
On a drip.
One bright, shiny thing I did want to mention is, and I think maybe it's like 10 years old, the Project WET. Yeah, I don't know if you know about that.
No,
it's for fourth grade classes in the Verde Valley, Sedona. And it's held in October for one very intensive day. About 400 kids come in, and it's all volunteer based. It's run out of Chip Davis's office with NRCS, I think.
NRCD.
NRCD.
Yeah.
And the University of Arizona Cooperative Association.
National Resources Defense Council. Chip Davis is the county supervisor in Yavapai County for our area.
It's actually the Natural Resource Conservation District.
Thank you.
Subdivision.
I got my D and my C backwards.
It happens a lot.
Okay.
So anyway, it's fourth grade classes. They have like five pods of four different water-based activities.
Yeah.
And it goes on, and you do like 2 hours solid of this. The kids rotate. And, you know, the kids get it. They're being taught in school. There's a water curriculum base. So, you know, there's a fourth grade class every year. And that is an encouragement for the future, because they can tell you about water and turning off the water when you brush your teeth or do your dishes.
And you guys are talking about solutions and happy things, and I'm over here being all negative all the time because that's kind of what I do. But we got California. I mean, what we have right now all over the news is California and Governor Jerry Brown is making people reduce their water uses by 25%. And I understand there's another 25% in the offing, which I wasn't that good math, but I believe it's 50%. That's a lot. If it gets to that, I've been telling people at the bar and the coffee shop. you guys laugh, but they know it's true. That the only difference between Arizona and California is that they have 40 million people and we have 7.
Mm-hmm.
And so anything that's happening over there is going to happen here, or some of the things that are happening over there, at least as far as water shortages go, could happen here, but it's just going to take a little longer because we just don't have as many people. And we know there's all sorts of other legislation and litigation involved, fighting over the what's our portion of the Colorado River and that sort of thing. The other thing I've heard down at the coffee shop with all those is before you make me stop watering my fruit trees, you know, you got the guy, you got the industry that's using 80%, industry and agriculture are using 80% of the water, and you want me to not water my fruit trees? You know, go after those guys. They're using all the water. What the water I'm using is a drop in the bucket, as they say. So there, Chip.
Well, I would say that everybody has a part in drying up rivers and streams, and everybody has to work on the solutions.
That's a good answer.
I think there are some important differences between Arizona and California. Arizona did enact a groundwater management code in 1982. Legislature hasn't done a great job of working with it, in the opinion of some. California never did that.
Good point.
And I think that Arizona has also banked a lot of groundwater in the bigger metropolitan areas. There are a lot of differences between Arizona and California, but I also look at it as maybe that's good impetus for us to get started now on working on these solutions rather than waiting until we have no choice but to take actions that are really harmful and restrictive.
Americans are really good at crisis management, but they're not good at heading off crises.
Well, I think go ahead, Kathy.
It's going to take political will to make some of these changes, like rainwater harvesting and developmental changes. So,
I want to say that we, like a lot of shows, we've only scratched the surface. I think there's we started talking about organizations. We didn't get in depth on all of these organizations or the other organizations, but I do want to get at least a phone number or an address. We can reach Kathy Davis through the
VRBP.org,
the website.
Mm-hmm.
We can reach Chip Norton and the Friends of the Verde Greenway.
www.verderivergreenway.org.
All right, very good. I want to mention that we do have sponsors, the people that help us get this information out, keep us on the air. We have the Democrats of the Red Rocks. We have Democrats of the Verde Valley, and we have our friends over there that have generously. I want to give a shout out to Jim Ledbetter, who's his fundraiser every year keeps us going.
And don't forget the meeting this Thursday at 6 p.m. at the Jewish Community Center for Democrats of the Red Rocks.
Yes, no breakfast this month. The meeting, we have some state legislators coming up, a good access to some state legislators if you want to have a nice, pleasant conversation with a state legislator. We're going to get some inside information on what's going on down there. I have to admit, the Arizona legislature is the butt of jokes nationwide.
Deservedly so.
So they will be in Sedona on May 20th at the Jewish Community Center. Check it out. It'll be a good show. We want to talk about upcoming shows. Next week we're going to do the Verde Valley Wine Consortium. Like we've been stepping away from politics, as we do from time to time. The Verde Valley Wine Consortium will be here. Sam Pillsbury, Paula Wosley, and some others. Please, this show and all our shows you can find on vvid.org. Check out our podcasts.
You've been
been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.